This episode of The Salty Show is brought to you by Silicon Valley Bank.
Who turned off the light?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I am your host, Salty Saw. What do we got with us today?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy.
Oh, shit. Timmy, two times. Ah, the world is ending.
What the hell is that?
That's how I feel right now, man. This is where we gotta pump it up, baby. Let's go.
All right.
We gotta bail out every bank, man. We gotta bail
I'm
out
so
every
glad
bank.
I have a drink.
Yeah.
Woo-wee. We gotta pump this shit up, man. You guys don't remember the from 2021? That was the Bitcoin song. We gotta pump it up. We get to 60K, bro. And now market, best economy ever.
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now. That's how I feel right now, Solly. So I'm angry.
I get it.
I'm angry. I'm pissed off, as well as every American should be. But there is one thing I can say. I didn't vote for this shit. At least I know I didn't vote for it.
Well, amen.
No, but here's the thing, guys. We're in the same ship. And it looks like it's about to sink. And that's the thing, right? Even though we didn't vote for it, we're in the ship, guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're living under a rock right now, and if you think that paying $4 a gallon for gas is good again, price of eggs has come down a little bit. Price of milk, all the prices are up. Like 20, I think milk is up 20%. I think bread's up 40%. I mean, these are essentials for people's lives. Poultry's up. I mean, this is just electricity's up 20% or something, like double digits. Like, I don't know how anybody's able to afford this, but us, the deplorables, we're the ones, the deplorables, and that includes all the progressive communists that are feeling the effects of all this shit, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't care what anybody says. So we're not in a good economy. We're not in the best economy ever. Just because he touts 12 million jobs, those are the jobs lost from COVID. I really hope people are understanding where we're at this point in the story. We've been talking about the Great Reset for a long time, and everyone's like, how are they going to do it? You're watching it happen right now, guys. You are legit watching the Great Reset happen.
So what happened?
What has happened over the last week? It seems like, I texted Saul the other day saying, I feel like every time I turn around, it's another major crisis. It's not like, I stubbed my toe and it hurts. It's like, no. We got shot in the chest like 50 times. You know what I'm saying? So what happened last week? What happened late last week? So late last week, right around Wednesday, there was this major, major debacle in the stock market. The financial sector wound up getting destroyed. I mean, you're talking about 20%, 30% on the financial companies. They all wound up getting hit. Then news broke that Silvergate Bank, they went belly up, and Silvergate Bank was heavily invested in, it was a crypto bank. It was heavily invested in crypto. It was a big crypto bank. Okay, great. Okay, crypto takes a hit. Stock market goes down. But then all of a sudden, what happened on Thursday? Oh, Thursday, they started doing a run on the banks and on the stock market. So you had Silicon Valley Bank. They started, their stock value halved in one day of trading. First Republic, Bank of California, they halved as well. Trading got halted a couple times. Signature Bank, American, all the financial companies. I mean, they lost, I think, $600 billion in valuation in one day. I mean, that's insane. I mean,
you know their what's valuation. Crazy, though, is like, because to your point, Tim, I was watching this, I was reading the tweets, everybody's, it was all blowing up. And obviously this is a big issue, right? And the problem is that not enough, because right now Silicon Valley Bank, okay, it's used by investors and the tech world. And so right now, who's really feeling it, right? This is, I mean, they were what, the 16th largest bank in the U.S.?
Right. I was getting to that point in the story.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Where, Wednesday, Thursday, the stock market, there was a lot of weird things happening. And then all of a sudden Friday, news broke that Silicon Valley Bank is insolvent. The FDIC, California regulators seized the bank. They seized the bank before the feds did. That's what's even crazier. Like, I don't know what that's all about. But all of a sudden, Silicon Valley Bank, that was being touted as the one of the best banks and the most solvent and all this crap.
Who?
Silicon Valley Bank.
No. Who's touting it? Who said it was a great Kramer thing?
Wait, hold on. I mean, Jim Cramer, Forbes. I mean, this thing was on Forbes' top list of banks, top five Wall Street Journal. 5 years in a row.
So the question becomes, what happened? Did Silicon Valley Bank do something wrong? Or were these
people who are supposed
to be experts not know what the fuck they're talking about?
Okay, it was a combination of both.
See, here's what I think now, because there's been a lot of analysis, and of course, there's a lot of debate from economists and, you know, conservative pundits and liberal pundits, and everybody's got their theory, right? And Biden supposedly comes in and saves the day. Bullshit. But here's the deal. So what the way that I see this is, we can pinpoint it at what happened. What it was the thing that has led to where we are today. It was the whole COVID fucking planning, World Economic Forum, to Tim's point. This is what has been planned. So you lay off all these people. There people are out of work, and then you have the government coming in and throwing a lot of money, putting a lot of money into the economy, printing money, basically inflating the economy. So then you have banks, to Tim's point, and a lot of economists were looking at this, and they were saying, oh, okay, it looks like they should be fine because they have assets in securities. They have invested in the government itself, right? But what happens is that people within the tech world are realizing, how many tech companies have closed in the last, whatever, two years, whatever? A lot of them. And so a lot of these companies have their money either invested or deposited into this bank, and so they started withdrawing this money. And it's its own world out there, to your point, Timmy, out in California. And so all these people are talking, they're saying, hey, something's happening with this bank, you might want to get your money. And so that's what everybody started doing. Everybody starts pulling their money.
The thing that happened on Wednesday was Peter Thiel, he was looking at the balance sheet, something, and he wound up saying, hey, I'm pulling all my money out. And he told everybody, hey, pull all your money out. So they started doing a run on the bank. Silicon Valley.
So one person who's...
Well, he's a main VC. Like, he's a big VC. So he was a big whale, and he started pulling, and everybody else started pulling. But what really comes down to it is that all these companies bought bonds, right?
Yeah.
When did they buy bonds? They bought them when interest was at 0%, right? Because, for the last 15 years, since 2008, 2009, the interest rate has been pretty much zero or negative, right? So when you buy these bonds, and all of a sudden, what's happening in the bond market and in our world? Well, with inflation, how do they fight inflation? Raise the interest rates. So now you bought these bonds that wound up losing value. So now you have unrealized losses.
Yeah.
So now when everybody starts pulling their money out, you have no cash. You can't cover what's in the bank. And now you have these you become insolvent. You know what I mean? You wind up becoming insolvent. And I'm going to play the first video here, that breaks down.
Jeremy, you had a question. Sorry. I know. Sorry.
Well, yeah, the question was, the question was, you have these people who are touting this bank as being, great. It's the best thing ever, blah, blah, blah. And then you have assuming idiots at the bank doing stupid things that banks, shouldn't be doing or whatever, right? They're just being a bad bank. And the question is, which one of them caused this to happen?
Right. So the question becomes, guys, I'm not an economist, and this is stuff that we're learning as we're reading about this. Honestly, like, I spent time trying to figure this out so the way that I understand it, Jeremy, the reason why I don't trust that this is over and that what Biden supposedly did is going to fix it, that's what they're trying to tell you, so that to keep people calm, right? But I don't think this is over. And it's not me trying to, because, guys, I mean, we all have our money in the banks, and where else, outside of putting it underneath your pillow. But even then, the inflation. Anyway, what I understand it as is, it's not necessarily that they were doing anything wrong. They were doing what a lot of banks do, which is, you invest that money that people have deposited. You, like, to Tim's point, you buy assets, and those assets are, you know, treasury bonds. The majority of their money was in that. But to Tim's point is, when interest rates goes up, the new treasury bonds are now at a higher price, right? And so if they're going to go and try to sell, lower price, right, Tim? Because if they go and try to sell it, they're not going to make any money from it. They're going to lose.
Right.
And so what happened is, because people were pulling money out the bank, they then have to go and sell these treasury bonds to make up for, to give people their money. But they're selling it at a lower price, and which means that they're losing money. And so obviously the news went around and they're like, oh shit, these guys have invested badly, but have they really? I think this is what a lot of people have been doing. What I blame it as is the government interference in this whole thing, in the printing of money, in the increasing of the interest rates. But the government has to do that because it realizes that it's just dumped a bunch of money. And what people end up doing, what do you do when you have all this money that the government has put in? Well, they just go and buy more treasury bonds, or they go and invest it more. And so it's a bad practice. I think it's a bad marriage between the private sector and the public sector government that causes this. And so, but to Tim's point, I think all this is going to lead to, and this is the ultimate plan, is the government now investing in cryptocurrency or moving towards the cryptocurrency so that they can manipulate and control and basically have crypto surveillance on how you spend your money. I think this is where it's going, but I don't want to jump ahead, Tim. I'll let you.
Right. So, I mean, you hit it spot on, right? I mean, they did what they were supposed to do, like anybody else, like every bank is doing this. And unfortunately, what also came out was they, all of a sudden, everybody started really digging into this. It turns out that on paper, it looks like between all the major, like all the banks, there's over $600 billion in unrealized losses that they all have on their sheet, on their balance sheets right now. But really, somebody came out and said, yeah, that 600, yeah, double that. It's probably close to $1.2 trillion in unrealized losses that all these companies have. And it's a ticking time bomb, right? So now what happens? If you get scared, what are you going to do? Because this also happened with Signature Bank of New York. They got seized over the weekend as well. Now, what happens if you do a run on the bank and you take out all your money, right? What do we all know? Most of the time, banks actually don't have a lot of money in the vault. It's not like how it used to be. They take your money and they move it all around. They put into these bonds and these things, and we have no idea. So they're basing it on being insured, FDIC insured, and then you have the millionaires.
Read the FDIC, you're only insured on FDIC up to $250,000.
Well,
right. Nothing above that.
Supposedly, right. Biden didn't do that. Biden bailed out these banks way over that. And people got paid who, to your point, Heidi, you make a great point. See, in a capitalist economy, if you put all your money and you put over 250 and the bank collapses,
right.
The rules are you take that loss because you took that risk. But according to Biden, Biden's not going to allow that because now he intervened and he said, well, if you deposited in a bank that was not, that didn't practice or, you know, just collapsed, the American taxpayer is taking on that burden and not the person who made. Do you see what I'm saying? This is why I call it a bad marriage. This is really bad. Well, he should not have intervened.
I also thought that one of the big things with the Silicon Valley Bank, and I don't know about the one in New York, but is that like they're the one of the biggest things that they also did as far as they dealt with very high risk businesses. They gave money to like a lot of these tech startup kind of companies, and they had a high risk business. Portfolio and. Business motto, right? Or business.
Yeah. There was a lot of cash. There was a lot of cash in that bank, or a lot of, I don't want to say cash, a lot of accounts that had several million in there, right? So well above the insured rate, right? So all these businesses that bank with them, you know, if you're a tech company, BuzzFeed, Roku, they were made, and those are major players, major companies.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. The business plan itself was very risky business plan to begin with.
Right.
Just what they chose to who they chose to do business with, how they chose to do business, anything, outside of the other stuff you're talking about.
I would say if I were to criticize, I think they were relying too much, trusting too much on the government, and they didn't see. And I think a lot of banks are doing the same thing. They're not realizing what the federal government is doing by raising the interest rates. And they're continuing to Jeremy's point, they're continuing some of these bad practices. Maybe that's what we can say is a bad practice, is that you continue to buy treasury bonds knowing damn well that the interest rates are going to go up. Maybe that's the bad investment. Instead of saying, hey, maybe we should shore up some of this stuff and not necessarily get too far extended. But we all know. But
if you've been accumulating these, if you've been accumulating bonds for the last 10 years, let's say, right? I mean, it sits on your books, right? And then all of a sudden, because rates haven't been going up in the last 10 years. Yeah. And now you got COVID, and now, you know, maybe they didn't think inflation was going to run that high. But I just want to play. I want to play this video real quick of exactly what Joe Biden did, because this is very, this is a bad precedent, right? Now the problem is from what he did, it's a rock and a hard place, right? Because now if he doesn't do this, the panic that happens in this country is 1929-esque and probably more. And now we have a bigger shitstorm.
But Tim,
I get it. There's no right answer.
They're passing the buck. To your point, we dumped a lot of money during COVID. We took a lot of people out of work and then said, don't worry, here's all this money. And now we have to pay the piper, and nobody wants, he doesn't want to have that upon his legacy or his presidency, but it's going to happen.
It's going to blow up, but let's listen to what he did.
Before I leave for California, I want to briefly speak about what's happening in Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Today, thanks to the quick action of my administration over the past few days, Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country, the deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills. And their hardworking employees can breathe easier as well. Last week, when we learned of the problems of the banks and the impact they could have on jobs, some small businesses, and banking systems overall, I instructed my team to act quickly to protect these interests. They've done that. On Friday, the government regulator in charge, the FDIC, took control of Silicon Valley Bank's assets. And over the weekend, he took control of Signature Bank's assets. Treasury Secretary Yellen and the team of banking regulators have taken action, immediate action. And here are the highlights. First, all customers who had deposits in these banks can rest assured. I want to rest assured they'll be protected and they'll have access to their money as of today.
Okay, pause. What does that mean? Right. So everybody hears the term FDIC insured. Right. So basically what they did was they said, hey, because all these banks have to pay into the insurance, right? Every bank has to pay into that fund, right, to insure all this. So what they turned around and said, oh, OK, we're just going to pull it from that fund to insure all these deposits. I think it was a couple billion. Right. So they covered the billions based on the fees that all these banks pay into the insurance fund. Okay, doesn't cost me money, but now this is what they just did. You just promised that the FDIC is going to insure $19 trillion worth of fucking deposits. Mm. They can't do that.
Yeah, does he have the authority to do that? Well, not even can we afford to do it? That's a separate question. The question is, does he have the authority to do that?
Yes.
It's insurance, so the FDIC, I think, can
I have
do
no
that.
Idea. That's another thing. Big government.
Hold on a minute. I don't know. I don't remember that in my studies.
It's not a bailout. See, this is how they got around it. If you call it a bailout, it's got to go to Congress to get legislation to get money printed, or money to bail them out. By doing it this way, you worked within the system and said, "Hey, we're going to rob ourselves to pay this." So now all the banks go, "All right, cool. You made people feel at ease, right? With saying, hey, the banking system's safe because you can get your money. Because if they turned out they couldn't get their money, bet your ass everybody would have been online at every single bank this weekend pulling their money out. And then Monday we would have had.
But it's the same thing that happened during the housing crisis, right? Because all these, you know, people were lending money to people who normally wouldn't have been able to afford it, but that's okay. Because guess what? The government is going to guarantee it. This is the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac bullshit. Oh, it's all right because the banks felt easy to do it because guess what? The government's insuring it. The government's guaranteeing it. Same thing that happens. It happened here. All they did again was just throw the can down the road because eventually that money is going to run out. You cannot, to Tim's point, you cannot guarantee 19, whatever trillion that is that all these banks, you cannot continue to do it. This is bad policy. But to your point, to everybody's point, as soon as that happens, it's a collapse of the economy. It will be. But the thing is that it needs, in my opinion, look, again, Tim is asking me, what bank do you have your money in? I'm like, bro, I learned my lesson back in 2008 where I literally did. I have like three other banks and I don't keep my money in one place. Now, in a freaking complete collapse, I don't know how much sense that's going to make, but you know, because if one falls down, at least I'm not going to be completely, you know what I mean? Like fucked, which is
well, yeah, but in theory, if it's under $250,000, you can have it in one bank.
Not if it's going to becomes insolvent, Jeremy, again, to Tim's point.
No, with the FDIC insuring it.
Right. But
yeah,
now
the FDIC
the
is.
He just said he took the money from the FDIC.
Right. So now here's the problem. If so the FDIC insurance is gone because they bailed out the rich people in California, right? They bailed them out because if you look at all the look at all the donors, they're all from fucking, they're all silicon, they're all
it's all the freaking
which is why they believed that the government was going to bail them out, which is what
I guarantee
exactly
you. If this
did.
Was a bank in Ohio, he would have been like, oh fuck them.
Yeah,
He basically did say a month ago the largest fucking chemical fucking.
No, but what I'm talking about, like I say, a like for like. If it had been some bank that was helping some farmers out in Ohio, he would have been like, yeah, let them fall. You know, this is what.
Right. I mean, there's got to be suits or something. He can't. I'm telling you, in my securities licensing, it's 250,000. That's it.
Right.
And like you brought up the whole housing market fall. I lost a home during that because of all of that.
A lot of people.
And you know, you want to know what the government sent me to bail me out of my when they came in and took my home. They sent me $2,500.
Yeah.
That's what it was supposed to fix my credit, fix the loss of my home, all of that stuff.
So bullshit. Was,
yeah.
Nice.
But so that's how they helped the American people the housing market crashed. I guarantee you the people in their pockets probably got fucking paid out full amounts of whatever they lost.
Of course. But remember, they didn't authorize. This is how they're getting around it. They didn't authorize an executive order saying to do this. The FDIC said, hey, we can do this because there's no law that says that we can't use the insurance fund.
Because they're on the same team.
Bail. Right.
So
it's all within the same company.
Oh God,
I have questions. The FDIC.
I get what you're saying, Heidi. It's very unethical, but they did it.
Well, it is Joe Biden after all.
Right. So, I mean, however you want to slice it, it's done, it's did, but whether it's right or wrong.
It's a hamster wheel. That.
What are you going to do, sue them? It's going to take a year.
What's going to happen is it's going to become insolvent.
Yeah.
And in order to rescue the FDIC, they're going to have to print more money so that they're, mm-hmm. that they get, and then that printing more money inflates the economy.
So,
and then raise the interest rates back at square one.
So the FDIC, I it's been around for a very long time. I remember that from when I was a kid, seeing that little FDIC logo on my bank, my bank savings statements.
Since the Depression, they started that in the New Deal.
So if these banks have been paying into that since the Great Depression, almost 100 years, how much money is in that account?
No idea. Nobody knows. FDIC, like a lot of this shit with the banks. Like nobody's allowed to know anything about the central banks or anything that the Treasury, the FDIC do. There's a lot of weird things with that. They're like their own entity.
Okay. Like so Federal Reserve. I guess we need to figure out how much money is actually in the FDIC account to cover these things.
Google it. I guarantee you it's nothing. I guarantee you it's all bullshit because they're basing it on that this shouldn't happen at a large scale ever again.
Right. But I'm assuming these banks are putting money in. I'm sure it's not $10 a month.
Well, they all have to put it in. But what they spend their money on, we have no idea. They could be spending that money and giving it right back.
It could be like Social Security, where everybody pays into this magical account. And when you go look at the account, there's nothing there because they Ponzi schemed it. Right. And they spend it on other shit because they're Congress and they can do that.
If I had to guess,
when it comes to actually paying out, oh, we got to raise your taxes.
Here it is. Okay, here it is again. I Googled it like you told me. So you would think that the Google would change given dipshit's recent decisions. FDIC deposit insurance coverage limits. Type of account owner category coverage limit is single accounts, $250,000 per owner. Joint accounts, $250,000 per co-owner. Certain retirement accounts, $250,000 per owner. Revocable trusts, $250,000 per owner per unique beneficiary. I'm not quite sure.
Right. See, nobody's arguing that point.
But I'm trying to find what's like to your as the of question 2021, you're having.
They had a deposit insurance fund was at $117 billion.
Yeah. It's not even anywhere close to cover all these banks. So let's hear.
And how long has it been around?
Since the Depression.
Yeah.
So this is, so, let's finish up, like, because he explained some of this. So let's play a little bit more because it's a 4-minute video. So I wanted to break it up.
That includes small businesses across the country that bank there and need to make payroll, pay their bills and stay open for business. No losses will be, and I want, this is an important point. No losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Let me repeat that. No losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Instead, the money will come from the fees the banks pay into the deposit insurance fund. Because of the actions that our regulators have already taken, every American should feel confident that their deposits will be there if and when they need them.
So right there, he just explained what they did. Whether or not they could or couldn't, they broke their own rules. They broke their own rules of what they insure to cover all their donors in California, okay? And in New York. Okay. If you look, it's New York and California. Okay. Both those banks.
Yeah.
All
it's basically a Democrats rescuing Democrats. This is what this was.
It's like FTX. Right. So now, just so that you get another explanation of where we got here, Jeremy Heidi.
I like how you're using Twitter bookmarks, by the way. Best thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Oh, yeah. It's the best thing ever. Well, now that I'm kind of doing more of this, so now I gotta, I can't just wing it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna play a video from Steve Cortez from the War Room. He's an economist, part of the Trump administration. He's been on CNBC. All of a sudden, once he started, talking to Trump, everybody hated him. Before, he was smart, but he breaks this down, perfectly.
Look, we hate woke, of course, and we hate corporate cultural Marxism. That is not why SVB failed. It's not why Signature Bank failed. It's not why more banks are very likely to fail. It's not because of woke. I believe the reason, though, a lot of folks on the right are going there, Steve, is because they don't understand this. Okay. And they don't care to do their homework. And it doesn't take long, to understand what happened here in terms of a bond market revolt against Biden's inflation that made normally safe assets suddenly incredibly risky. Okay. That is the reality. That is the crux of what is going on here. And the consequence going forward is that it has put the Fed into a trap where we have inflation that is out of control. And yet, if the Fed tries to fight that inflation, it risks massive bank failures. Okay, so don't forget about the woke stuff. Okay, that's not
hang on for a second. Hang on.
So right there, he basically explained exactly what we broke it down to.
I agree with him on that. Like I said, there's a lot of companies who have bad policies. I'm with, the conservative movement on that. But I don't, to his point, I don't think this is what caused it because it traditionally, buying assets, securities in treasury bonds has been good practice. I mean, it's guaranteed, but we live in a different. Yeah.
I mean, granted, the SVB chief risk officer was more. Was more about doing LGBTQ stuff than worried about
what exactly. You know what? Here's what I think. Again, if I were to say the failure was that they continue to trust this administration and they're not, making other moves instead of continuing to, buy these treasury bonds. Maybe they should again shore up some of that stuff and say, hey, we need to buy different types of assets.
Well, I mean, for Signature Bank, think about Signature Bank, right? I mean, another company, DEI, ESG. I mean, they were all in on it, right? I mean, they were so all in on it that this is why people on the right are more about the ESG DEI causing shit to fail. I mean, I don't blame them.
Yeah, because it's the affirmative action, the appointments, yeah. it's the higher meet quotas of all these. Yeah, it's this video, it's nonsense.
This video sums it all up. Listen.
Ruthless, so many useless meetings.
What is this?
Some banks will sell their souls. Some banks just feel real old. I wish they weren't so. But I still wake up. I still have the dream. Oh, Lord, I still know what I stand for.
Oh, Signature Bank. Wow.
I stand for honesty. I stand for integrity.
Most things. It's so hard to be here.
Diversity.
I mean, I can't play any more of this, but you, Jeremy, you want to explain what we just saw?
No.
You know what I mean?
My eyes have been raped. Were I need to go take chicken? A shower.
I'm sorry. Feathers? Were they chickens wearing? Or were they, did like they get into a pillow fight?
I think it was tarred and feather. You know what I mean? Like
what? Tar and feather?
And maybe it was a pillow fight. You know what I mean?
That's what I just said.
It made no sense.
I don't understand. I'm confused.
You know what? Okay. On a bigger point. Bigger point though. This is the problem that appointing somebody just to meet a quota is doing a disservice to minorities. All the minority groups. Guess what? Because you're putting their people, you're forcing it to happen instead of saying, hey, you need to meet these qualifications. This is our standard. No, let's lower the standards and qualifications to get the position just so that we can get somebody so that we can say, oh, see, look, guys, we're diverse. And that person who got in there was pushed in there is now standing there like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And guess who that, who hurts? Who does that hurt? It hurts minorities. It hurts the very people who they're trying to help. Fucking morons.
Oh, dude, it doesn't help. I mean, they're trying to be sustainable, no carbon by 2030, and they're getting really aggressive because, yeah, if your pals are bailing you out, or if your largest shareholders like, you know, BlackRock and Vanguard, if they're pushing all that, they're basically stealing from themselves. I mean, it's like money's coming in the front door, and they're just putting it in the back door because they control all the funds and all the money.
You said putting it in the back door.
I know. You know,
it is. I mean, isn't that what they're basically doing, right?
Yeah.
To the rest of the world? To the rest of the people that are going to suffer in the end, they're bending you over and stick it in your back door. I mean, that's like.
Well, and to the point of what Nelson said earlier was, you know, what is the grand plan with all this? Like all of a sudden now, you know, it's crisis after crisis, but now we hit the banking world, right? So what have we been talking about for a long time, right? The Great Reset, and what comes with the Great Reset? Oh, digital banking currency, right? Kind of like how China has it, right? Because if the goal is to get us to be more like China's system with the social credit score, the digital yuan and all that, how do you get there? Well, you got to cause a banking crisis, right? So within a banking crisis, the first couple go, but now what you say, we have to come up with a new solution. Oh, guess what? We do have a new solution. It's called the central bank digital currency. Really? What does that get? Think about it. You don't have to worry about cash. All your money is yours. But now it comes with the price. Now we can limit. We can show you how much carbon you're spending into the world. We can track all your purchases to buy you, when you buy your guns and tell you, wait a minute. Oh, shit. Now I got control. Oh, wait, Jeremy, you will go online and buy another gun. Nope. That purchase does not go through because we cut your account because you're not allowed to have guns. You're a conservative. That's a ding against your social credit score. Oh, you eat meat. That's a ding against your social credit score. Oh, you drive a truck. You produce 50 tons of carbon a year. Nope, you're a polluter. You can't do anything. What? So we have to be really careful about worrying about this. You know, we're all over here thinking this, but meanwhile, this is almost on purpose, I feel. You cannot sit there and turn a blind eye to $600 billion in unrealized losses in a sitting on a balance sheet and go, wow, that's normal. You can't bail it out unless there's a plan. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. But to your point, also, real quick, was these three banks that folded over the weekend, or, you know, in the last week, they all had big ties to crypto, big ties to crypto. So now people are going, huh, is this their way of going after the crypto banks to say, hey, we don't want crypto, and this is our way to kind of kill it because it makes it unstable?
I don't think it's just necessarily just crypto. I think it's the, to your point, it's the move to financial surveillance. This is what this is to the tracking and monitoring of American citizens. This is the ultimate plan, and it's ultimately going to be for control. And how do we fight that? I think a new underground bartering system is going to come back. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know how we fight this, guys. This is, and I don't think it's the end. I really don't think it's the end. I think it's maybe the tip of the iceberg, but the question is how fucking big is that iceberg, man? How big is that guy?
Look at Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse out of the Swiss, right? That's a big. I mean, they own a lot. They had a lot of issues
of a new bank. Was that the one?
Credit Suisse. So they're out of Switzerland, and the Swiss government came out earlier today and said, "Hey, we will bail you out." And right before we got on the show tonight on March 15, 2023. Basically, they took them up on their offer to make sure to keep the peace. So basically, it's almost like they're starting to nationalize the banks and making it more of a utility. You know what I mean? So now the government's getting more control all over the world into their banks.
I know that the person that writes my checks, we're tied to Zurich, and Zurich's out of Switzerland.
Yeah,
and that's where. The, you know, my security is, so to speak, as long as I'm doing my job.
Yep.
So
that's the big one. If they go, that's like a world collapse. Because that's like all of Europe, the EU, everybody.
I think that's the thing people don't realize is how tied the rest of the world is to, the American banks. I mean, I think I was watching a video when I was looking into this. And there was, you know, these, because obviously, the SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, is, you know, was lending money to a lot of, it was basically tech companies. And yeah, we all know tech companies out in India, you know, are also get money from this. And so they're going to suffer. And it's not just the U.S. who would be impacted if there was a collapse of a major
collapse. Now think about this one. Again, with Silicon Valley Bank, some of the biggest depositors there were Chinese companies. So now that the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, right? Because, you know, CNN, they like to call them, oh, China. No, they're the Communist Party of China. The CCP is getting bailed out with our money. So now how do you fund China and grow China? Well, they just got American money for an American problem. How the fuck does that happen? How does Indian companies get American dollars? Right. So you just made the people over there, because they got no scruples. So those owners, they got the money. You think they're paying their people? No, they just got rich. They basically just gave a bailout to the Chinese Communist Party. That's another big thing about what I think, why they were so quick to seize this, because they were like, you know what? China got on the phone and said, hey, dude, you're killing us. And, you know, Biden, because now it's coming out that, you know, they, you know, Congress is getting some of the transfers and directly coming from China to his family. So we'll see what comes out with that. So I there's a lot more to this. And I think a lot of it's based on China pulling the strings. That's just me. But let's move on for a minute. As we're talking about SVB, you know, I love financial people. Right. Like people like CNBC, they put this guy, this crazy guy on here called Jim Cramer. Everybody remembers Jim Cramer, right? From his infamous 2008 call of Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers. You guys remember that, right?
Yeah. Before they collapsed.
You know, just in case for the listener that they don't remember, let's play 2008 real quick. Let's play a clip from 2008 of the world-renowned investor known as Jim Cramer.
A great job? All right, anyway. Okay, Peter writes, should I be worried about Bear Stearns in terms of liquidity and get my money out of there? No, no, no. Bear Stearns is fine. Do not take your money out. This is really, look, if there's one takeaway other than a plus 400 somebody, Bear Stearns is not in trouble. I mean, if any...
Think about what he just said. What happened like the next day?
Collapsed.
Or like shortly right after he said that. Bear Stearns closed. They went tits up. So did Lehman Brothers.
Lehman Brothers, same.
And we started the biggest financial collapse in our lifetime since the Great Depression. Huh. Let's fast forward 15 years later. The infamous Jim Cramer once again.
By the way, what date was this? Wasn't this like a month ago?
Yeah, this was back, and this was back in February.
Yeah.
Let's hear what the infamous Jim Cramer has to say about Silicon Valley Bank.
The ninth best performer year to date is SVB Financial. Don't yawn. This company's a merchant bank with a deposit base that Wall Street had been mistakenly concerned about. SVB is the old Silicon Valley Bank. Recently bought one of our favorite research firms, Buffett Nathanson, and it's become less dependent upon private equity and venture capitalist offerings. Wait a second. Those dried up last year. They could come back. Yes, some of them come back here with a stock directly affects an oversold position. Stock was the fourth worst performer in 2022. I think the fears were not justified. It's a very compelling situation. Hey, by the way, long-term private equity and venture capital, they're not going away. Being the banker to these immense pools of capital has always been a very good business.
Two for two, Mr. Cramer. Two for two.
So, all right. So obviously this man has been around for a significant amount of time.
He's gonna
How
lose,
often
you're gonna lose him.
Is he yeah. wrong?
That's true.
I mean, you got to, you know, I mean, seriously, the guy's on, I'm assuming he's got a 5 day a week show.
Right. Yeah, he's on CNBC 5 days a week.
He's on TV 200 days a year, and it 20 years, right? That's 4,000 shows. I'm sure during each show he makes multiple announcements about this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. How many of his predictions, whatever you want to call it, recommendations, failed versus were good?
I think he Overall. Has the same success rate as the weather guy who's predicting with the
right.
Well, but you know, I don't know the answers. I'm throwing it out there. Like everybody's wrong yeah. sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear what. Okay, everybody's wrong. My first thought.
Okay, that was his. My first thought was, so how much money does he have invested in every one of these sudden crashes? What's he getting paid out? That was what my first thought was.
Here's my thing. If you're a financial expert and you're trained in how to read charts and read finance reports and balance sheets and understand unrealized gains, losses and everything, when you look at a guy's balance sheet and you go, shit, you got $100 billion in unrealized losses, interest rates are going up. That's not good. It's 1 + 1 = 2 with this shit. You know what I mean? So,
well, the question is, Tim, how many other companies are in that same, have that same financial model? How many of them are doing the same thing?
That's why everyone's freaking out about the financial industry, because nobody, here's the thing. If you're not in this world, we don't pay attention to this shit. We look at stocks and bonds. We look at stocks. All right, I want to buy this. And it's a couple of dollars here, there. Right. Excuse me. So we're not paying attention. But then all of a sudden, oh, shit. 16th largest bank closed. What the fuck? How did that happen?
In 2 days.
Then all of a sudden. And then in 2 days. And everybody starts Googling and researching. And all of a sudden, all these economists come out. Or, now there's everyone, journalists start doing their job. They go, oh, shit, this isn't the only one. All the banks and the Bank of America has got the biggest exposure. I think they got $120 billion in unrealized assets. I mean, in unrealized losses. That's some scary shit. Bank of America, that's in the top three. That's top three bank. Okay. But I want to play one more video from my favorite stock, my favorite stock analyst, Jim Cramer, about Signature Bank from 2022. Listen to Mr. Cramer from 2022 about Signature Bank.
Let's start with Signature Bank. This is a New York-based commercial bank, but it's got 36 private client offices sprinkled across the New York metro area, California, and North Carolina. The thing about Signature is that it's a business-oriented bank. And to the extent that they have a consumer business, it's focused on the wealthy, namely business owners and senior executives who do a lot of business. And you can make a lot of money working with them. Let's start with Signature Bank. Is this a new...
It's a great bank, you know, can't lose. All the rich people are there. And meanwhile, you know, the kiss of death was they deplatformed Trump and his organization. So the kiss of death was they fucked with Trump. But
oh, really?
Again,
I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, apparently Ivanka sat on the board for a while.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Interesting. So, oh, yeah. Yeah. But again, Signature Bank 2022. Ah, it's a great bank. A year later, done. You know, Jim Cramer the other day said also, if you made money on this last little blip with Bitcoin, you should sell everything. You know, Bitcoin's going to go down. Next day, it's on an all-time high. It shot up to like 20, I think like 26, 27K or something like that. You know what I mean? They're like the highest it's been in over a year. I'm like, this guy, if this guy tells you to fucking go right, go left, because he's going to send you right into a fucking... He's going to send you right into an accident waiting to happen. You know what I mean? It's just, this is getting insane, guys. I mean, look, me and Saul, I think we're in a little bit of a better position, right? Because we don't have a family, right? With all this uncertainty. Well, I think about anybody with a family, right? Anybody with a family with now having to think about all the inflation, like you've been trying to wrap your heads around that. The price of gas, the price of electricity, the price of food, right? A family of four, you know, your grocery bill used to be $250, now it's $600, right? I'm not saying that's you guys, but in a lot of cases, that's a lot of families, right? You know, the average wages aren't staying with inflation. If inflation's up 6% and you get a 3% raise, you're not making out and you're still losing. You know what I mean? So what do these people do? How do you keep voting for these people?
Well, Tim, to your point, like maybe I would still worry, you know, the number of single men out there in this economic time, sexless, you know, it is creating the perfect storm for another war. And if you look at history, every single time that the population of men, there's been an increasing number of men who are sitting around twiddling their thumbs, what do you think they're going to do when they get angry at the system that is putting them in the position? They're going to get angry, dude. This is not good. It's not good for the world. It's not good for our country. And this crisis that's being perpetrated on us, because again, this was by people who wanted to line their pockets, inflating, you know, the dollar, giving money to their friends. This is what this is. Let's not lie. It was a power move by the elite, and here we are. And what happens to those people who are displaced? Who again are sitting around and not worrying about a family, not worrying about, you know, the day to day, because this is what, you know, usually has maintained peace, is people are preoccupied with daily living. But if you no longer have that, and again, you have a bunch of single men, because the women who are single, okay, whatever, they can't create war. It is the single young men who are going to create this war and they're going to create a revolution or a civil war. That's the danger in that. And it's coming. I, again, we are brewing a perfect storm for this shit that's coming.
I agree. But what do we do from here? I'm of the opinion.
Prepare.
That's why I was joking when those text messages like, hey, make sure you got your water, your bullets, your food. You know, a way to heat the food up, you know, make sure that you have your the preparers were right. They used, so I was watching an episode of Timcast this week and it just happened that his guest lined up to it like perfect. And this guy is like a very large, like he's a preparer. He's got a whole fort out in West Virginia. He's got a whole colony where people all live there. They live on this barracks together and they all, whatever. But they're writing articles now in like the Washington Post, the New York Times saying, shit, the preparers were right. they were right all along because they used to get made fun of, you know, when people are like, oh, why do you have the survival kits? Why do you have all the plans? Well, for this, oh, that'll never happen. Well, I think never will happen is here. I think we're about to witness never happen. And to your point, yeah. I mean,
history is full of never happens.
And it's also, and it also repeats itself. And unfortunately it is itself.
Right? Right. I mean, just think about it. That'll never happen. Oh, well, guess what? It happens, right? History is chock full of that stuff. So there's, when it comes to preppers, right? There are people that take in my opinion, I guess, there are people that take it a little too far, right? And there's people who don't go far enough, right? And the things that you choose, you know, there's just so many variables there that it's hard to guess the right way, right? Do you invest in silver? Do you invest in gold? Do you invest in food, right? The thing is food doesn't last long, right? I mean, like real food, when you say food, you're talking, you know, fruits, vegetables, meats, dairy, right? That's real food. If you want survival food, you're going to get freeze-dried, salted carbohydrate crap that will last for 10, 20 years in a box. And so do you spend your money on that, which is going to make you sick over the next 10 years anyways? Or do you invest in a good gun with lots of bullets so that you can go out and hunt deer or rabbits or squirrels or whatever? Because squirrel, rabbit, deer, that's real food, right? So there's all kinds of questions, all kinds of scenarios, and silver and gold. I think it was last year sometime we did a podcast about, we brought up this video of this. It was like prehistoric times, right? And this guy's, it was during our Bitcoin thing.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, he's selling chickens or whatever. And this guy walks up, he's all, I've got silver and silver's better than chickens. And the guy's like, can I eat it? And he's like, well, no. He's like, get out of here. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so the point of silver and gold really is when it boils down to it and you're hungry and you're thirsty, can you eat it? Will it keep you alive?
Right. That goes along with the books that I've talked about many times, right? Is they talk about, were you guys talking about
I was going to get to that. So Heidi was listening to these books. And one of the things that they brought up was that if there is a small town or whatever that still is functioning, right? It's kind of self-dependent. The shit hits the fan and you get a small group together and you're all working towards the same goal. One of the things that was kind of interesting that I heard from this book was dentistry. The guy, one of the characters in the book had a cavity. And it just so happened that one of the guys in the village was a dentist who was into old fashioned dentistry equipment, right? Stuff that wasn't electric or air driven. It was like manual hand crank drills, things like that. Well, since they couldn't get electricity or any of that other stuff into the village, he was the only one that could actually do dentistry in the area. But the problem is when they did fillings and stuff, they needed gold to put in the hole because they didn't have all the new fancy polymers and whatever they're sticking in your mouth now. And so, sure, gold and silver, it does have its value, even in a shitty, shitty environment, right? I mean, gold is still used for lots of things other than just looking pretty. Silver is used for other things other than just, you know, being shiny. But when it really boils down to it, can you eat it?
Well, so the other thing that was in those books before he'd interrupted that I was trying to say was like, yeah, gold, silver, whatever. But you know what also held a ton of value? People would give, like they were giving away the food they had for them, cigarettes.
Yep.
What? Cigarettes was the like top of the value of cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah.
Cigarettes and alcohol. If you could provide somebody with either of those things, they were going out and making sure that you were brought food, that you were brought wood for burning to have heat, that you were brought water for drinking. If you could provide cigarettes and alcohol in the book.
Basically in modern day, that would be fentanyl.
Yeah. Coffee was the other one. Like one of them came across a truck that had Keurig cups in it, and the Keurig cups, you know, they seal. So they stay fresh in that sealed package for however long. Well, when you haven't had coffee for a year, even if that Keurig cup is 5 years old, that's freaking fresh coffee for you who haven't, haven't had
coffee in
a year.
When it comes to people's vices, that's you need, right? Yeah. Like you said, anything that's addictive, drugs,
alcohol,
cigarettes,
prostitutes. No. Alcohol, I'm actually being serious with that.
Yeah, that wasn't in the book.
Well, that is a renewable resource, right? But
the nutrient.
Resource.
It is. But you're talking about finite things, right? Once you smoke a cigarette, it's gone. Once you drink your beer, it's gone. Once you swallow your ecstasy, it's gone, right? Those are a finite resources, right? Or consumables.
Yeah.
So if you really want to survive, and I guess to the point, though, you can't just be out in the wilderness by yourself and survive by making tobacco or making alcohol or making fentanyl,
It does need to be a community still.
You have to be within a community in order for those types of systems to work. If you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere by yourself, what do you really need? You need a gun and some bullets to shoot the deer, to shoot the whatever, to cut it. You need a knife to cut it open, flay it, whatever, and some place to heat it up.
But you got to remember, humans are tribal, right? So what's going to happen? Everyone's going to try to be singular, right? But then eventually you're going to have to get together with people, right? To actually stay safe, right? Because if you're like, all right, I'm in the woods by myself. Well, if three people are in the woods together looking for that one to take you, three against one, right? You know, what are your odds? You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Because I think about big cities, right? They're the first to go. I think about New York City. New York City is screwed beyond belief if this thing blows up, okay? If there's no food, if there's no gas to fill up the trucks, there's no food to get into the city. If there's no food to get into the city, what do you do? Now everyone's got to get out of the city. Now if everyone's all trying to get out of the city together, guess what? They can't because it's a traffic jam. So then they decide to close the city down. Nobody in or out. You're screwed. You know, if the utilities go, the water, no water, no electricity, you're going to start eating each other.
Have you guys read or listened to the books that I've brought up like half a dozen times?
Not yet. I got to order them. I just got to find the time to read them.
I would listen to him on Audible. Listen to him on Audible when you're driving.
I need to read. I need to read.
The minute you start the books, you're not going to be able to stop. It's going to be worse than any kind of binge watching of TV. Like to the point where Jeremy could tell you, I would sit in, just sit and listen to the books. I never even turned on the TV, just listening to the books because to hear what they had to say, it was,
So I'm sorry. I'm not really sure how we got onto it, but basically prepping, there's a lot of different roads you can go down. And it's like, you have a finite amount of money to invest into these things. What are you going to invest into?
Right.
You gotta make those decisions. And I recommend investing into at least something, right? We've made some investments in certain things, but you know, it depends on what really blows up and how it blows up.
You know what? You have land. I know how to trench. We'll go up to that land and we're going to trench. I'm being serious.
I think you got to have a certain amount of, you know, tangible assets and then assets that are going to protect those assets. You know what I mean?
Right.
Tools that you can use to protect that stuff.
There's an old saying is before you start collecting silver and gold, you need to start with lead.
Exactly.
Seriously. Exactly. I'm actually shocked. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. Actually, I tell you, I'm not a financial advisor, but something to look into gun companies and ammo companies.
I know this wasn't going to be in your topic, Tim, and we got to close it out because we've gone over it. But I did want to say this is, and this is just news that just, what is it, in the last couple of days, ChatGPT rolled out version 4. I don't know if you guys have heard what it just did. Have you guys heard?
No. What did it do?
They've given it access to execute scripts and execute code. And some people have already had it fool somebody into persuading them to give them their, you know, their CAPTCHA. You know how when you go in and you authenticate through CAPTCHA? And the AI was able to persuade somebody to give them, you know, that. And so again, this is dangerous right now. And what I think is going to happen, we might see the AI. Oh, because here's another thing is like, remember what we were talking about or what I brought up when we did that AI episode? And I said, the problem is going to be when the code knows how to fix itself better than, or program itself better than we can. We are there. We're mm-hmm. there right now, where the code is going to be able to rewrite itself, propagate itself across all. It's like, think of a virus, right?
Yep.
Like we've just given artificial intelligence to become a virus.
Uh-huh.
Fucking wild. And so I think that will be, if I had to, you know, take a guess, what is going to be our demise? I'm going to say it's going to be AI.
So it's interesting you brought up that, because I was going to bring it up, but I know we hit our hour, but the Daily Mail actually had a article about this. The ChatGPT developer owner even came out and said with ChatGPT-4, he goes, he's like, I'm actually scared of this. This is actually could be a detriment.
Well, then why are they deploying it?
Because they're evil people. There's no laws. When I say laws, there's nothing governing AI. Okay.
Well,
there's not a framework or anything. It's just, they're going with it. Oh, how far can we go? How far can we go? And it's like, oh shit, I think we went too far.
This is a challenge, Jeremy. And I think we've talked about this. Problem is that countries like China and Russia are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about, like, okay, and for those of you who don't believe this, but again, just to keep the conversation secular and for the general audience, think about in the evolutionary step when human beings gain consciousness and awareness and knowledge and blah, 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 blah. Okay. We elevated ourselves beyond the animals, right? Because, who was I hearing them describe it this way? And it made so much sense. Because we were able to use our knowledge and that skill, where now I didn't have to be necessarily faster and stronger than my predator. I just have to be smarter and lay out traps and be able to overcome them that way. That was an evolutionary step. Well, think about this step right now with AI, where we've given it all this knowledge, because basically that's what it's collected. It's collected all this data set from all our history and all knowledge and all human consciousness and awareness and written history, whatever. Boom. This fucking thing has it. That's the next step. And it's going to use it against us. And it already has, again, to my point earlier this or yesterday, this AI did that and was able to fool a human being. And so imagine if we have a country like China who's already doing it. And I think our government has been doing this for years, but whatever. Wouldn't it make sense to have a competing AI that will, in other words, they'll be fighting against each other instead of having one AI that's centralized? Maybe it might make sense to have different versions of AIs competing against each other, and that might save us. But I don't know. I'm not
or they could gang up on us.
Exactly. I mean, like, hey, look at these fools stuck in a stone age. Yeah, no.
All right,
we'll leave it there.
I hope everybody's preparing. That's why we got into the preparer conversation, Jeremy. Be vigilant, be aware, and have a plan. That's all I could say.
Here's start what I'll say is we promise the next episode we might have something a little bit lighthearted, because we've been
it's just like every day it's something. It's like another fucking crisis.
All right, I'm gonna close it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Bye.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Pray.
Pray.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
the
Salty Show
.com.